This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson. Akiak musher Mike Williams Jr. came out on top on Saturday in the Holiday Classic. It's the second Kuskokwim 300 sponsored race of the season.
The trail was just about perfect. It was a hard pack, some kind of icy, but good traction and no soft spots out there.
Williams Jr. says he had to pop one of his young pups in the sled bag when she got tired on the 47-mile trail from Bethel to Kosciuszko and back.
Put him back in the team about 5 miles out, and she did good.
Kuithluk musher Michael Larson grabbed second place, while Jason Pavila, who now lives in Nebuskiak but raced dogs out of Kuithluk, took third. Following his first-place finish in the season opener race last weekend, Williams Jr. has earned $3,200, as well as another 10 points in the five-race K300 Delta Championship Series. Next up, mushers will race more than three times as far in the Bogus Creek 150, scheduled for January 10th. For the full list of results and to register for upcoming races, head to k300.org. KYUK's Gabby Salgado contributed reporting to this story. The next legislative session is less than a month away, and lawmakers are preparing to return to Juneau. Low oil prices are likely to strain the state's budget, and top budgeters in the legislature say Governor Mike Dunleavy's proposal for a $3,600 permanent fund dividend is unrealistic. Meanwhile, the developer of the Alaska LNG project is nearing a decision on whether to go ahead with the long-sought gas pipeline from the North Slope. And Senator Bill Willikowski, an Anchorage Democrat, says lawmakers may need to update the state's oil and gas tax structure to prepare. Under current law, he says he's concerned that oil and gas companies could invest in building the pipeline, then deduct the expenses from their taxes.
We're seeing the impacts of that with the Willow Project and how ConocoPhillips is spending $1 billion, $1.5 billion, and then writing off hundreds of millions of dollars off of their production taxes. The same situation exists with the natural gas pipeline.
Lawmakers will also have the opportunity to invest in as much as a quarter of the project. Willikowski says that's an option worth looking at carefully. Legislators say they're also awaiting Governor Dunleavy's proposal to stabilize the state's finances. Dunleavy says he plans to unveil a long-term fiscal plan next month. Big Lake Republican Representative Kevin McCabe says he'd like to see lawmakers revisit some of the ideas put out by a legislative task force in 2021.
We definitely need a better, stronger spending cap on the legislature. We need to find ways to generate new revenues. My personal idea is that we need to encourage resource development to generate those revenues.
Some members of the Democrat-heavy House and Senate majorities say they'd also like to see the legislature peg school funding to inflation. But leaders say they don't expect education to dominate the coming session after lawmakers boosted school funding this past year. Lawmakers return to the Capitol in Juneau on January 20th. The United States may soon have an Arctic ambassador again to represent the nation's interests in the far north. The post has been vacant for nearly a year now. That's because Mike Sfraga, who's currently the interim chancellor of the University of Alaska Fairbanks, resigned from the post in January, just before Donald Trump took office. But the Trump administration will soon have to nominate someone for the position now that Congress has approved a measure that requires it to be filled. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
President Trump signed the 2026 National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA, on Thursday. The 3,000-page policy document outlines the Defense Department's plans to acquire weapons like ships, aircraft, and missile systems. Tucked deep within the document is also a provision that codifies the position of Ambassador at Large for Arctic Affairs, a diplomatic post also known as the Arctic Ambassador. Senator Lisa Murkowski says she worked with members of the Senate Arctic Caucus and House Arctic Working Group to include the position in the NDAA, and she hopes the administration will move quickly to fill the post.
We've been waiting on this for too long, and given all that's going on, the geopolitical activities in the Arctic, waiting another year wasn't something that I was interested in.
She was a leading advocate for creating the Arctic Ambassador post, which the State Department established in 2022. But it took a while for the Biden administration to choose someone. Here's Murkowski making the case in a March 2024 hearing before members of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee to move ahead on the nomination of Mike Sraga, who was then chair of the U.S. Arctic Research Commission.
We are the only Arctic country without one. Everybody else has an Arctic ambassador, even some of the non-Arctic countries like Singapore.
The Senate confirmed Sraga's nomination in September 2024, and he became the first and so far only U.S. Arctic ambassador. Murkowski said in an interview earlier this month that the need for someone to fill the post has grown even more urgent.
We've certainly seen Russia projecting its presence when they're flying, you know, their war planes in the Alaskan Air Defense Identification Zone. We've seen that multiple times over this past year. We need to have someone who's going to work with our allies and engage our adversaries in the region.
Senator Dan Sullivan cited the same concern in a written statement he issued Thursday. It read in part, quote, "Our country needs steady, predictable engagement and leadership at the diplomatic level to better represent America's interests here. And that is exactly what an Arctic ambassador can deliver," unquote. Sraga says he wouldn't be interested in the job right now, but adds that he knows firsthand how essential it is.
That person helps to formulate and communicate our Arctic policy. It helps to infuse that policy into our overall foreign policy. I would argue that this ambassadorship also has a connection to the domestic policy because of the state of Alaska.
He said in a recent interview that the ambassador must engage with other Arctic nations, both allies and adversaries, and countries elsewhere around the world with interests in the region.
This is now a global Arctic, whether it's trade or economics or, you know, great power competition, oil, gas, critical minerals, our new world. The Arctic plays such an important role.
Sraga and Murkowski both believe the ideal Arctic ambassador nominee would come from Alaska. And so does Troy Bouffard. He's director of the UAF Center for Arctic Security and Resilience.
I would hope that an Alaskan is appointed in order to be fully, more or less qualified to represent the U.S. Arctic, which is defined by Alaska.
Bouffard said it may be hard to find an Alaskan with all the experience and skill sets like those that Sraga possessed. And if so, he hopes the Trump administration will select a person who's dedicated to understanding the state and its strategic importance.
If we're not successful in getting an Alaskan into the position, we can have someone who's willing, brings a lot of other important world experience, and can adapt to the Arctic challenges a lot easier.
Bouffard says the State Department has capable staff running the Office of the Ambassador at Large for Arctic Affairs while the Trump administration looks for a nominee. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
This is KYUK News. I'm Evan Erickson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yoktun Ganumchit coming up.